Hi guys, it's Jessie.
And Hannah.
And welcome back to Maybe We've Been a Little Too Harsh.
Maybe we've been a little too harsh.
Do you want to write a jingle for us?
I said last time I was going to sing a different jingle every time.
Fuck, I forgot. It's been so long.
It has been a while because I was out of town and I forgot to pack headphones.
It's okay. Sorry to our listeners that we are recording this episode on Sunday, which is usually our upload day, which means I'm not uploading till Monday.
Whoops.
Which they have experienced because it is Monday by the time you're listening to this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Happy Monday, everyone.
Yes. What's going on in your life, Hannah?
Well, I just got back from the beach, which was fun. It was just, like, really low-key, just hanging out with the same five people I've been quarantined with, so, like, whatever.
Yeah.
My cousin had her baby, so that was really exciting. Her name is Everly. She's beautiful.
Very cute.
Is
this cousin Gabby?
No, this is my first cousin, Debbie.
Okay.
Debbie's the one that we didn't know about until a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a baby.
Aww.
Did I share the Benny news?
Not on the pod.
Okay, well, Benny, my darling Benny, has a date, and they will be here.
It's very exciting.
And so, super exciting. That's November 2nd. So, just in time for the election. They'll be in Maryland.
Yes. Wow.
And, I know, it's going to be an eventful week.
Oh, yeah.
And they're coming here in, like, 2 weeks, a little more than 2 weeks, to drop off one of their cats with me.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And to sign some paperwork. Mm-hmm. And then they're flying back. So I'm going to have five cats and a dog in my apartment for a limited time.
Oh, my God.
My poor cats are going to be so upset about the new cat.
Yes, they will.
What I've been saying through this whole process, what, like, Betty and I keep telling each other is, it's going to be horrible and it will be fine.
Yes, that's true. That's true. You just have to get through it.
Exactly. It's just going to be a terrible month.
Yes.
And it will be fine.
Yes.
So
I'm very excited for Benny to be here.
Me too. I'm hoping that when they're here, we can go to Brookside and walk through some of the reception sites we're considering. Oh, look at me revealing where my wedding is to a podcast of strangers. That's cool. Please don't kill me on my wedding.
I feel like we've talked about it.
Probably.
Yeah. Because I knew it was at the garden.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Is anything else going on with me? No.
Okay.
No. How about you?
Well, here's what's going on with me. I don't think I said this on the pod, but I got a raise.
Nice!
Which is interesting. It's literally just because our board of directors were like, COVID sucks. We feel bad for you guys. Here's some more money. So,
my old workplace did that before they fired me, but they just gave me like a $20 Amazon gift card. And like, thanks for hanging in there. And then they fired me the next week. So whatever.
No, that sucks.
They literally sent out an email on Sunday that said, we're all going to get through this together as a family. And then fired me on Monday.
That's ridiculous.
And fired another person. It wasn't like just me.
God, that
sucks. They literally
sucks.
Cut half of their customer service team after saying that.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's awful.
That company is a terrible, terrible place.
Yeah.
Where do you think you're going? You are on a leash, sir. Sorry, my dog is thinking he can be free when he cannot.
It's okay. Other than that, I had a lot of fucking stomach problems on Yom Kippur and ended up
I saw the tweets.
Basically,
it didn't sound fun.
It was not good. It was not good. And then I also ended up having kind of like a very bad interaction with a long-term family friend.
Ooh.
That I realized, like, they triggered me, but they didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And they triggered me because they were, first of all, they were being an asshole, and they had no idea that they were being an asshole.
Yikes.
This is a family friend that I've been having a problem with for a while now, because she came out as trans, and then all of her former personality disappeared, and everything in her life has been replaced by her new identity as a lesbian trans woman.
Sure.
And her girlfriend.
Did you just pee on my carpet? Oh my god.
It's okay. It's okay. I'll cut this out. Go deal with your carpet.
Okay. Sorry. Hang on. I feel like I am never going to potty train this dog. I'm so stressed.
I wish I had advice, but I really don't.
I think it's just time. Do not eat the headphones. And once he's not a puppy anymore, he won't be so fucking destructive. Stop it.
God. I hope.
Oh, he's driving me crazy. Okay.
I'm sorry.
You were telling me. Okay, so now her whole identity is being a lesbian trans woman and her girlfriend.
Yeah. I don't like her girlfriend. Basically, what it boils down to is she's got something going on that she has been pushing, like, to the side, and it has not been dealing with. And I can tell, because I've known her since she was 7, and, like, I know everything about her, basically. And also, she's just, like, not as in tune with, like, her emotions as she thinks she is. Mm-hmm. And I, like, spent half of the week being like, well, do I tell her that she upset me and was being an asshole, or do I not bother because she's just going to give me an insincere apology? And so now I'm dealing with this in therapy, and tried to reach out to said friend and was like, are you okay? And she was like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. So that was a bust, and now I'm just annoyed. So,
well, I always approve of dealing with things in therapy.
Thanks. I like therapy.
I had a really unpleasant interaction with my mom today.
Oh, what happened?
So I slept over at her house last night, mm-hmm. along with my sister and my brother-in-law and the baby. Mm-hmm. And when I got up in the morning, I wanted to let the dog roam around the living room and, like, the floor.
Okay.
But one of her cats was down there.
Okay.
So I said, my mom is upstairs. So I said, Mom, call your cat. Just for reference, this cat is 18 years old and she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
So I was like, Mom, call your cat. And my mom, like, flies off the fucking handle about how her cat shouldn't be sent away in her own house. And I was like, and how it's so unfair. And I was like, I didn't put a gun to her head, Mom. I asked you to call her.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, fine, me and my dog clearly are not welcome here. And I passive aggressively left my mother's house and have not spoken to her.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. I mean, I don't know. Like, she just wants me to crate him the whole time he's there, and I just feel really bad doing that. Like, I'll do it when I'm there and I'm working.
Uh-huh, that's fair.
But when I'm just there because I chose to be there, I'm like, I could take him home where he could be free. I say, yes, he's on a leash right now. Oh, I guess you don't have to be on a leash anymore since you already peed.
Mm.
Be free. Now you can go poop somewhere. God.
Oof.
You're a demon dog.
Well, this will validate your feelings.
Oh, do it.
Which is that pretty much anytime anyone ever enters our home, we have to put all of our cats away. And for half of our meals, we have to put our cats away. So,
I know. Just feel like the cat prefers to be upstairs anyway.
Yeah.
So, and like, I was surprised to see her downstairs because she's never downstairs. She sleeps on the bed all day. She's 18 years old.
Yeah.
So, I was like, why? Why is she here?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm on your side, so.
Yeah. And when the dog and the cat interacted last time, she just hit him in the face, and it was fine. So, like, what's the big fucking deal? But my mom, like, she, like, if they're even in the same room together, she's like, Cleo can see him! And she does not care.
I don't understand your mom's perspective on this, like, at all.
I don't understand my mom. I'm really pissed at her. Like, I'm out of proportion pissed at her about all of this. I think, like, all of my, like, resentment I have with my mom of, like, issues. My therapist is bringing up a lot of ways that my parents are actually not good parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my parents, what happened is, my parents are better than a lot of people's parents.
Yes.
And especially the people who I, like, would have been around a lot.
Yeah.
So because of that, I've kind of internalized this attitude that, like, they're perfect and I can't complain. And, like, there are some things that they did that were definitely fucked up.
Yeah.
And my therapist is kind of unraveling those right now. So I have a lot of anger. Oh!
That's valid.
I do have news I forgot. I am no longer bipolar.
Bro, what the fuck?
I have lost my bipolar diagnosis.
I'm
because it doesn't fit.
Pissed!
Sorry, I'm not in the clan anymore. I am borderline.
Okay.
So my meds are getting switched around, and I'm going to read some of these nice borderline books that I read that teach me how to be a better person and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm getting off lithium because I'm not, bipolar.
Yeah. You not being bipolar and being borderline instead makes more sense with your life.
It does. It does. The only manic, like real manic episode I had, like hallucinations going crazy manic episode, was when I had already started on mood stabilizers and I wasn't taking them regularly. Oh. So I think I like it was medication induced.
Oh, lol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cannot relate. I have had auditory hallucinations since I was about like 5.
So. That's what I had during the manic episode. I was like, where is that classical music coming from?
Yeah. No, I hear like conversations
I just hear music.
Like I'm eavesdropping on people in a cafe, basically, is what it sounds like.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I love being crazy. Yeah, but no, yes. So I like talked to my therapist about it, and she was like, yeah, you're not bipolar. And just for listeners, you can absolutely be both bipolar and borderline.
Yes, a lot of people I know are both.
Yes, we just don't think that I am because basically what I realized was with bipolar disorder, the mood swings kind of have to be independent of anything. They just sort of happen. Whereas mine are always triggered. Mine are always based on an external thing.
Yeah.
Like it can be like a totally small thing that it usually is that I blow out of proportion, but there's always something.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. As someone who's not a therapist, I agree with your therapist's assessment.
Yeah. My therapist is cool. I trust her.
Yeah.
So, so we are going off lithium. I'm going up on my Abilify, and we're adding Wellbutrin for ADHD, which I'm excited about.
I love Wellbutrin.
I've never taken it, so I'm psyched.
Yeah. My only warning with it is that it might mess with your sleep a little bit.
Okay. I take so much stuff to sleep that I don't think anything can mess with my sleep.
Yeah. Oh my God. Did I tell you about what happened when I took Trazodone?
You did.
It literally gave me so much pain. And I took my migraine meds, which I was like worried about because I thought it would give me serotonin syndrome. And it didn't fucking help for more than like an hour.
That sucks.
And usually my migraine medicine like cures all ills. And then I woke up in the middle of the night and shat my brains out. And I still haven't talked to my psychiatrist since. I need to talk to him because I need more. I need refills. But yeah. I will deal with that this week. So
good job.
I couldn't believe it.
I have to meet with one of my professors this week about my paper proposal. I've tried a 20-page research paper. That's so long. I'm afraid.
I had to do that, but it was like a policy research paper.
I was an English major, okay? I don't write research papers.
I don't understand how it's that different than being an English major. Like, don't you have to write a billion papers in English?
Sure, but you can, it's all opinion and bullshit. You can just make it up.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. All of my papers in environmental policy and in French were just me being like, I have a strong opinion about this, and I'm going to say that you can't disagree with me, and then just Googled stuff.
This the paper topic is cool. I have to pick it's for my diverse students class. I have to pick a disability and write about basically how to educate students with that disability.
Oh, I love that.
I think I'm going to do anxiety.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to my professor about whether there's enough information out there on that to do 20 pages.
Yeah.
You might deafness have to, is like, the obvious one I could do, but I don't.
Yeah.
I already know all that, you know? Like I wouldn't be learning it if I...
That's fair. Yeah, I'm thinking it might be easiest for you if you make sort of a choice between panic disorder and generalized anxiety disorder.
I think I might need both of them to fill the space.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I was just wondering if it would make the... it's like a thesis, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just wondering if it might make it, I don't know, easier for the professor to be like, that sounds good.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll talk to her. She's very cool. So
okay.
We have a meeting to chat with it about it on Thursday. So
cool. That's exciting.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So we've been talking for 15 minutes.
I know. I really feel bad. Yeah. Okay, I don't remember
It was boring. I texted you. I said there is one scene that I care about in this episode. And upon viewing, that remains true.
Okay.
Who should we talk about?
I don't remember what happened with Michael, so okay. Let's start with him.
Michael is has just found out that Ben is positive.
Yes. Oh, yeah, this was good. I like this.
Yes, and he decides he wants to keep seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
His friends kind of freak out.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie overhears.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts to freak out a lot.
Yes.
What do we think about this?
I think this is annoying because Debbie should have just fucking asked, oh, who are you talking about? No, she did not ask that. And then her freaking out is also stupid.
Hey, quiet. Hey, what are you barking at? Literally what? There's nothing happening. Lie down.
It's got a lot to say.
Shush. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No worries. This is like a communication problem again, which is just annoying. Yeah. And also I think her opinions on like worrying about Michael having AIDS and those feelings being different than her feelings about Vic are stupid.
Yeah, I do get that she, what I'll say is I have sympathy for Debbie in this episode,
mm-hmm.
but this plot of her being not supporting Michael, dating Ben goes on for so fucking long.
That really?
Yes. It's really annoying. But I understand that after seeing what Vic had to go through, that she doesn't want that to happen to Michael.
Yes.
This, Debbie's disapproval of Ben and Michael is it's still one of the most talked about plot points of the series.
I just don't because understand.
It's controversial.
Yeah. For good reason.
Yeah. I think I get where she's coming from. The stuff that she says to Vic is horrible.
Yes.
And the way she's handling her feelings is terrible.
Yes.
But I do get where she's coming from. She has an interesting line where she says, I don't want him to date someone who's sick. And Vic says, who says he's sick?
Yeah.
And
Vic
that
is right.
He is. But that makes me wonder, does she just not want, is it just about not wanting Michael to get HIV, or is it also about not wanting Michael to get thrust into the caretaker role like she has?
I think it's both.
Yeah. And that part is not really explored. And I think it would be really interesting.
Yeah.
To see Debbie's feelings on the fact that she has to take care of everybody.
Yeah.
She has this whole pack of boys who act like children.
Yes.
Who she has to take care of.
Yeah.
And maybe she's got some resentment about that. But we don't explore that, sadly.
Well, if she just acted different, maybe she wouldn't feel that way.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say that, like, at some point, I think Brian mentions that, like, you know, like, yes, they could believe that they're being safe with, like, condoms, but also, like, well, what if it breaks? What if something happens? You know? And I feel like I'm glad that that is mentioned, because I feel like too often people are just like, well, the condom is in use, so
yep.
It's all good. Which is too simplistic.
One thing I really liked about Brian and Michael in this episode is when, like, Ted was going after Michael about it at the diner, Brian didn't join in, but then later when they were in private, he let Michael know that he was concerned.
Yeah.
I thought that was very cool of him.
Yeah.
So Michael decides to keep seeing Ben, but then mm-hmm. right when they're about to have sex, he sees his meds and kind of freaks out. They part.
Ben's medicine cabinet most certainly looks exactly like my desk.
Mood. It's bedside table for me, but yeah.
Yeah. I just need more surfaces. I need more places to put my things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My bedside table, for complicated reasons, is actually out in my living room right now, so I have to go out there to take my meds. That's irritating. Yeah. Could I just move it back? Of course.
Yes.
Will I? Probably not. Is it on wheels? Yes.
Oh my god, Hannah, that would be so easy.
I know. Oh, it would be incredibly easy.
Yeah.
But you know, I am who I am.
Unrelated thing, which is why we keep on sort of overlapping talking, is that like your sound is like, I'll hear you, and then all of a sudden it'll like go quiet.
Oh,
And
weird.
then it'll pop back in a little louder, and then it'll even out,
Oh,
so.
that's weird. I have no idea why.
Yeah, it's never happened before. I don't know why it's happening.
Bizarre. We won't worry about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Michael calls things off with Ben for now. As you might have guessed, that won't last.
Yes.
Ben is here to stay. How do we feel about Ben?
I like him.
I like him. He's a little pretentious with the whole Buddhism thing. But
Oh, he's like
he's a
every
he,
therapist, every rabbi, every adult
yeah.
Jewish
But
person I know,
he's a little
so.
appropriative with he gets a little appropriative with Asian religions, and like he's all about like eating Asian food and Buddha and going to Thailand to meditate and stuff. And I'm like, you're a
Sounds like
white
he was
man.
raised Jewish. Name a single Jew who isn't obsessed with Asian culture. I can't.
Okay. Me?
You like. No, you're not as obsessed as like 90% of
No, I'm
Jews.
not.
Yeah.
The only Asian culture I'm obsessed with is my cousin, who is Chinese.
You're obsessed with your
That's
cousin. That's different than being
yes.
obsessed with the culture.
That's true. And I'm not even obsessed with her. I have a healthy relationship with her.
Yeah. My grandparents' entire house was like decorated with Asian art.
Oh my God.
They never went to Asia, ever.
Oh my God. I have been to Hong Kong and I really liked it, so maybe that's
Oh, really? I didn't
my
know that
list.
about
Yeah,
you.
I went to Hong Kong my freshman year of high school.
Oh, that's
It
so
was
cool.
extremely cool.
I
It's
want to go to
definitely the
Hong
coolest place I've
Kong.
ever been.
Yeah. I told you my best friend moved to Korea a few weeks
Yeah,
ago.
yeah,
Yeah. I want to go visit her so badly.
that would be fun.
I'm so sad.
But there's a pandemic,
I
so.
know.
It's okay, there won't be a pandemic forever. Maybe.
I hope. The only good thing about the pandemic is now
Now Trump's gonna
Republicans are
die.
getting their just desserts.
I know, it's so fun.
I know. I'm really living.
I could watch Republicans test positive for COVID all day.
I same, same.
It's my favorite form of entertainment.
Yeah. I think probably my least favorite part about this is that Trump went from being like 40 minutes away from my house.
Oh my God, that's the same. I said the exact same thing last night. I was like, I do not like that he's in Bethesda.
Yeah, it's offensive to me.
And like, I live in Silver Spring, so I think he might actually have been closer to me when he was at the White House. But it's
Maybe.
close. It's close.
Yeah.
But but you like, I know exactly where Walter Reed is, you know? Like exactly.
Yes.
So I'm like, I
Yeah.
don't like this. Like, I
Not
don't know how to get to
happy.
the White House off the top of my head. I couldn't like drive there with no directions.
Yeah, no.
But I could drive to Walter Reed.
Yep.
And I'm not a fan. Not a fan at all.
Well, anyways.
Yeah. All right. Ted and Emmett.
This is the episode where they were arguing about money, right?
Yeah. Because Brian decided to instigate some shit. One of my favorite little moments of the episode is when Brian's like, Ted has this nice watch and you don't, and Justin just makes this face like, oh my God, why are you like this? And it's just, he's just stirring shit up for no reason.
Yeah.
Yep, he's just bored. You remember what I said about him and Justin just being in the background, being a happy couple?
That's what this was.
Yeah, they were just chilling. And
Yeah.
Brian's bored because he's in a good relationship, so he has to stir shit up.
Yep. I do appreciate that. I did like that.
Yeah.
I like the outcome. I didn't like the fighting and arguing.
Yeah, I don't care about
Like, I
it.
knew it was gonna end, but it was
It
annoying.
reminds me a little bit. I can't remember exactly when it is. It's the lesbians are throwing a party, so I guess it might be the season 3 premiere. But there's so much going on in the season 3 premiere that I can't remember if it's that. But Ted gives Michael money to buy a present, and Michael picks something terrible, and they argue about it, and it's fucking hysterical. And it has some of the same vibes as when Ted and Emmett are fighting in this, and they're, okay, like, saying things, snippy things to each other, but it's much better. But it's, like, this is kind of, like, a precursor to that.
I did like when they were at the lesbian's house, and Emmett was on one side.
That's the scene I'm talking about, yeah.
Yep. Oh, that was good.
Yeah, so you'll like the scene where really they fight about the present. It's really funny.
Amazing.
Yeah, so Emmett has porn star demands, and now he's got a bed with his name over it.
Very cool. I do like that.
Yes. I like Emmett the porn star. I think it's fun.
Same. Okay, so I was thinking about it earlier, and I don't understand the appeal of porn with just one person in it.
I don't understand the appeal of porn, period, but I don't like sex, so here we are. Okay,
then I'm not going to get the answer from you.
You're not.
yeah. I've never watched porn. Hoping that he gets, like, a co-star. Sorry. I know the sound is a little delayed.
No, you're fine. He does not get a co-star.
Fuck.
But he does have a point. He does have a really fun plot coming.
Okay. All right.
One that I like a lot.
Okay. I want a Ted love story plot soon. I'm waiting.
That is coming.
Great.
Okay. Lesbians. I forgot all about the lesbians. Even though they had the main plot this week.
Yes.
It's funny. When I was first watching this, I was always like, Melanie thinks everything is anti-Semitic. She's so embarrassing. And now I watch it, and I'm like, no, that shit was anti-Semitic.
Yes. Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but I think it was the money thing.
Yeah. I had so much internalized anti-Semitism as a kid, like, that's watching crazy. This and I just thought that calling out anti-Semitism was so embarrassing and overblown, and like, that shit's over. And
no,
yeah,
I do it all the time online, and everyone's like, Jesse's whole personality is overreacting about anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm,
me too.
But it's like, me too. It's not actually.
Yeah.
And as we've seen, these little tiny little bits of anti-Semitism lead to, I don't know, 11 people getting murdered in a synagogue on a random fucking Saturday.
Yep.
Coming up on the second anniversary very soon.
God, it's been that long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was right around Halloween.
Yep, I think it's October 27th, but I might be wrong.
Yeah. I was at a wedding.
I was in my apartment, and I was hearing all these sirens. I woke up hearing all the sirens, and I was like,
yeah,
why are there so many fucking sirens? And then I looked at my phone, and I had a million fucking text messages, because I wake up late, of people asking me, are you okay? Like, was that at the synagogue that you worked at? Like, is everyone that you know okay? And then I figured it out.
Yeah, I was in Chicago for the wedding. And I had taken a nap, and I woke up, and I had all these texts from people asking me if I was okay.
Mm.
Not asking me if I was okay, as in, like, was I murdered, you know, but, like, yeah, was I emotionally okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't know what was going on, and then I saw it, and then I went to the wedding, which had no other Jewish people present. Oof. And I had 14 drinks.
Oh, no, Hannah.
I was so sick the next day. I had, yeah, to use a wheelchair at the airport. Because I could not walk.
No.
I curled up on a ball on the floor of the airport while Seth got me a wheelchair. Because I could not move.
This is why Seth is, like, the only person that matters.
That is just the most true sentence. I tried to sleep with a very attractive man who was also extremely drunk. We made out for a while, but then he didn't want to sleep together. So okay. I'm not very good at kissing, so probably I turned him off.
Oh, I believe that you're a good kisser.
Got very, very clingy with my ex-fiance's. My ex-fiance was there.
This is when you told him.
And I got
very
clingy with his ex. I told him that I had been pregnant, yes.
Yes.
And then I got very clingy to his girlfriend because he went home and me and the girlfriend were hanging out, and she was also very drunk. So we were besties for that night.
Oh, God.
then I was a mess. Oh, I tried to sleep with one of my old friends from high school, and he blew me off. This so basically, crazy. Nobody from that wedding will talk to me anymore, except for Seth, obviously. So.
Oh my God! Well, I can guarantee you're not missing anything. In conclusion,
don't shoot up synagogues because it makes people do stupid things.
Yes, I went. We went to the immediate vigil that was a block down from the synagogue, and then because I was I had the intern version of my current job at the Hillel that I went to, which I was very involved in, did a lot of cool stuff there, and am still close with some of the people who work there. But I was the mom to all of my friends, and they were way more emotional than I was. And then I took two of them to Cheesecake Factory, and we ordered a whole smorgasbord of food.
I almost ordered Cheesecake Factory tonight.
You almost went?
I almost ordered Cheesecake Factory today.
Oh, you should. It's so fucking good.
Nah, I'm gonna make duck instead.
Oh, never mind. You're not missing out.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I want cheesecake so bad.
I love cheesecake. Okay, so the lesbians.
Yes.
Are trying to have a wedding. Mood.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents will give them money. Not mood. My parents are giving me a lot of money. And they're parents are homophobic and anti-Semitic and terrible. So they're let's throw a party to show how respectable we are. And then Melanie asks Lindsay where her tits are, and then Brian asks Lindsay where her tits are, which is funny. And we have Brian and Lita meeting each other, and it's glorious.
It's awesome.
Love them together. Ship it.
Yes.
And then Brian puts E in the punch. Yeah.
Which is crazy to me. That is illegal.
It is, yes.
Very scary to me as a person who's terrified of drugs.
To me, I have no trauma involving this, so I just think it's funny.
I did the trauma to myself, which is the problem.
Yeah.
I hate myself for it.
I just love drugs, so.
I want to enjoy them. I want to have fun, but I can't.
Why can't you?
Because I took too many THC capsules in one night, and then had a horrible high, and then very close to that I had Vicodin for my wisdom teeth, and because I am bipolar and have psychosis sometimes, convinced myself when I woke up in the middle of the night from the pain and the meds wearing off, and then took more Vicodin, because you're supposed to do that so that you can sleep. I convinced myself that if I let the Vicodin let me fall asleep, or force me to fall asleep because it makes you drowsy, that it was going to kill me.
I one time was really, really high, and I was convinced that if I stopped thinking about breathing, I would stop breathing. So I had to lie there and focus on breathing. I will stop forever.
My God.
It was my ex-girlfriend, Madeline, her little sister gave us some weed, and I smoked it with Seth's ex-boyfriend, who was his boyfriend at the time. And we didn't smoke very much at all, and we both were so high. There was something fucking weird in that shit. Because, I took, two hits, and I was, I was a mess. And so was he.
Yeah.
So don't take weed from high schoolers. They have weird shit.
Yes.
But we didn't have THC capsules or any of that shit, so I don't know.
My friend made them.
That's wild.
And I trust him. But, they... You know how stuff, becomes less effective over time?
Yes.
And that's kind of, what happened. And also, things that you ingest are, less... Well, weed things that you ingest are, less... You know?
No.
You can't, tell what's going to happen with them as much as you can. Okay, I take one hit, and I can control if I'm taking another hit, you know? It's like, you've taken it all already. It's either going to be one way or it's going to be another way.
Good luck. I, one time, had just had all this blood taken because I had Lyme disease.
Yes.
And then I smoked a lot. And then I started hallucinating and crying in a movie theater. before the movie. And then I went to see the movie, which was Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Okay.
So just to let everyone know how old I am. And then I fell asleep on my boyfriend's shoulder, and it was okay. And now it's a funny story.
Okay.
Turns out, my mom told me a story when I was a kid about a time that she was at work and she gave blood. And then went to a bar and had a few drinks and then was so drunk because she had just given blood. And then I find out she lied to me. And the story is that she gave blood and then smoked pot and got so high. And I'm like, if you had told me the real story,
yeah,
I could have saved myself.
God damn it.
I know. Fucking Kim. I told you, I'm very angry at her.
You're allowed to be angry at her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just... okay, so anyway, the lesbians, yeah, they throw a party. Brian spikes the punch.
Everyone dances, like, naked.
And there's dildos everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, and the parents show up, and they're like, what the fuck? Also, the lesbians are never this way. They're always so, like,
that's
fucking...
That's the thing! It's that, like, they're ass. Walking in, and Lindsay's like, we don't need your approval, and it's like, you don't. And it would be okay if your life were a walking sex club, but it's not. You live a very normal domestic life. So I get the point, which is like, I was trying to prove that we're just like you. And it's like, I'm all for queers are not just like you discourse. Like, that's my jam.
Yes.
But, like, they are just like straight people.
I try so hard to not be just like straight people. I'd rather die than be like
too.
A straight person.
Me
Wait,
too.
Also,
me too.
I need to talk to you about this.
Okay, I'm ready.
Have you heard of the lesbian master doc?
No. Am I in it?
Okay. No. It's not which lesbians are in it. No, it's mostly about compulsory heterosexuality. And it's like become this like it's got like all of the dyke discourse in it. And it's like, these are, like, if this is what you are feeling when you interact with men, you're probably dealing with compulsory heterosexuality and are actually a lesbian.
Okay.
And so I, like, looked at it briefly the other day because I got added to this, like, woman-loving woman, like, group chat from people on TikTok.
You're not a woman.
I know. There's a few other, like, non-binary people in it. But okay. It's just, like...
You're just there as a spy. It's fine. Things happen.
Well, no, it's like queers who are not men who like
I'm just
women.
Fucking with you. You're fine.
Thank you. And basically, like, all of the things that I've always thought were compulsory heterosexuality that I was experiencing are. And basically, the doc is making me feel very much yes. That I am right in choosing to be a lesbian.
Yay!
And that my, like, the reason that I feel like I have to, not that I feel like I have to, but the reason that I have to actually, like, choose to, like, ignore certain things that feel like they are supposed to be, like, attraction to men is because, like, they aren't actually, and, like, making that choice to just, like, not... be with them is the best thing for me.
That's good. So I'm happy good for you.
I will probably send it to you because I feel like you'll like looking at it.
Yeah, I would like that. My big, like, wake-up call for compulsory heterosexuality was something about, like, if you're only attracted to celebrities and fictional men, you're not attracted to men. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that's what I would say I am most attracted to is those two people or, like, people who I, like, create idealized versions of them in my head.
Yeah, like, I love fictional character men and want to marry them all the time, but those aren't real people.
Nope.
And they can't, like, touch me, which is a positive for me.
No, that's a negative for me.
No, I don't want any men to touch
me.
Oh my god,
so...
my mom! Ah, she got pissed at me because we were listening to the news in the car on Friday. So, which was the day that Trump was hospitalized. And there was, like, some line about, like, Trump going to the hospital. And I was like, that's such a beautiful sentence fragment. And then they were talking about his risk factors.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, men are more likely to die. And I said, that's a beautiful sentence fragment too. And my mom was like, Hannah, don't say that.
Why? It's good.
Because she wants me to love men because has internalized, not internalized homophobia. She has homophobia that she can't get rid of.
Yes. She should get rid of it though.
That would be great, but.
She should be able to get rid of it.
Oh, I need to tell you something more off the air. Sorry, listeners.
Wait, what happened?
I said I need to tell you something when we're off the air.
Oh, yes. That's valid.
Apologize to our listeners for teasing them.
Okay, let's finish this, even though I'm sure they're enjoying our conversation about, like, our lives and compulsory heterosexuality.
They have stopped listening to this episode. This episode is a fucking train wreck. Okay, Brian and Justin.
I don't know, they have sex, and Brian gets mad at him for being like, I'd have sex without a condom.
No, that's a great scene. No, because Brian's I want you safe, I want you around for a long time.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that.
That's a big fucking deal.
An amazing line. It was, yeah, I felt a lot of things when I heard that.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Ugh. Just, if you think back to season one, when he's trying to get rid of him, and how just, like, quietly and beautifully they've gotten to I want you around for a long time, and how just understated the whole journey has been. It makes me so happy, and it's just like everything that I ever want to capture when I'm writing this kind of thing.
Yeah,
just how naturally we've gotten here.
Ugh, I need to talk to you about books, but I'm also like my blood sugar is dropping, so I will just talk to you about books when I have eaten. But yes.
That's fair. Also, I hate books, so I don't know why you want to talk to me about them.
No, I want to talk to you about it because you, I don't know, you've probably, like, entered into a circle with this author, and also I've got a lot of thoughts.
When we're off the air, you have to at least tell me what the book is.
Yes. Okay. I thought it was great, is good now that I'm remembering it. I feel really uncomfortable when we see their sex scenes.
Why?
I think I don't like men.
I mean, that's really fair. I think Brian is fucking gorgeous, so I'm always
fine. The more I look at him, the more I'm like, he's fine.
His jawline is beautiful.
He's just not my thing.
That's fine.
Yeah. I think I also think it's too intimate.
Yeah.
I don't like when things are like that.
That's very valid. I mean, their sex scenes are very intimate.
Yeah.
Which is one thing I love about them. This is like a weird thing to say, and I don't know how to express it, but I feel like I don't see the sex itself. Like, I kind of just tune that out.
That's fair.
And I watch their faces.
Yeah,
and
I don't
like
that.
The mood of, yeah, I see the mood of the scene, but I don't, like, care about the sex, so.
Like, when I see their sex scenes, and also sometimes the lesbian sex scenes, this is going to sound crazy, but it's like they are inside of my brain and I can feel like skin touching skin. Not like on my skin, like on the inside of my brain.
That does sound crazy, yes.
I don't like it. That's what like very intimate moments feel like to me. I don't like it.
I respect you.
Thanks. One time You're a welcome. Friend of mine said that I might have be on the autism spectrum, and a little part of me is very worried that it is true.
Don't be worried about it. You know, if you are, then you are.
Yeah, I've just spent this long of my life not having that label, so I am a little worried about it suddenly popping up.
I get that. That's, like, one of the very few things that I'm very sure that I am not.
I don't think I am. I think I, like, possibly have some synesthesia that I recently realized was synesthesia.
I have synesthesia. My whole family does, actually. Not my dad. My
That's
sister
crazy.
And my mom.
That's awesome. I love genetics. I used to want to be a geneticist.
For autism stuff, like, I read about it, and I'm like, I totally get how this could be a thing. Like, I get it when I read it. I'm like, yeah, I can understand feeling that way, but I don't. But
yeah,
it makes sense to me that somebody would, but not me.
Yes. Yeah. Like, some of the, like, obsessive, I guess, like, things, like, could make sense for me, but I don't have any, like, really compulsory behaviors. Like, I have, like, list-making things that are holdovers from, like, trauma and, like, you know, the way that people cope with abuse and shit, but I don't think it's...
So many things are, like, symptoms of multiple things. Like, I have a really big problem with intrusive thoughts, but I don't have OCD.
Yes.
So, you know, there's like a million reasons you can have
Yep.
different symptoms.
You gotta have to have like a whole bunch of them in one category for it
Exactly.
to be a diagnosis,
Like
so.
if you look at the symptoms for borderline, a bunch of people have like one or two of them or three of them. Like they're common things, but it's when they are huge and they're affecting your life and when you have a whole bunch of them. What has been frustrating me actually looking at stuff for borderline is I realized, and I was talking to my classmates in my diverse students class who are so fucking smart. It's mostly undergrads and they're so smart and they blow my mind. And I'm like, I love the children. But we were talking about how in the DSM, stuff for mental illness is, it's classified and it's defined by the effects that it has on others. And borderline, all of the symptoms are like risky behavior and something behavior. And it's like, but why are you doing the risky behavior? Like, I feel like that would be more useful to me than because this stuff will be like risky sexual behavior. I'm like, okay, well, I don't have that. But it's like, do I have the same impulse that's causing other people to do risky sexual behavior? Like, why do I have to have sex with people?
Well, I
So
think it's
it's.
also like part of it is like, I don't know. I think sometimes people like aren't willing to admit certain things about themselves. And so as a result, it's easier for doctors and shit to deal with patients if they can identify behaviors because that's so external.
I just think people aren't talking to the patients.
I
That it's
agree.
all being determined by people who watch the patients, and nobody's even asking the patients, why are you doing this?
I agree.
And that's so frustrating. All right, hot or
Yeah, let's do hot or not.
Hot,
My
hot, hot.
hot is gonna go to Michael because he's really in tune with his like wants and emotions, and he wants to take like this leap of faith into like what I don't know, like possibly getting into a relationship would be with Ben. But he also is worried. And I feel like he's really like giving attention to both of those feelings this episode. And he, I think he is as mature as he can possibly be given the time period and the knowledge that was around HIV/AIDS at this time.
That's a good one. My hot. I'm going to give it to Brian
That's valid.
for how good he is with Michael and the scene with Justin.
And also for
And
stirring
just.
shit up.
Yes, and for stirring shit up. And also just his, I love his, as a character, his devotion to safe sex
Yes,
that we've
same.
seen since the very beginning.
Yep.
And I love that that never wavers.
Yeah.
There's so much fanfic that's revolving around, like, Brian and Justin finally do it without a condom. And it's like,
No.
why is this the goal?
I don't understand people's obsession with having sex without a condom. That seems
I mean, I don't
not
like
human.
condoms. I don't like having sex with men with condoms. I don't like having sex with men, period, but I really don't like them with condoms. But
To me, it's like, whatever, might as
yeah. I
well.
don't understand the obsession that women have with whether or not two men are using a condom, but that's just a whole different fanfic kettle of fish that I don't understand. And obviously not the kind of fanfic I read or write because I don't care about sex. Not.
My knot is going to my favorite character, Ted.
Oh no.
Because, he is. Well, first of all, he's being a shitty boss. And we all know Marxist theory, blah, blah, blah. We hate bosses.
We do.
And he should be paying Emmett better. Like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Also, he should give Emmett, like, if he could give Emmett stake in the company, that's what he should be doing. Also, the fact that he's only gonna fucking give him like 10 to 15%, bro, what the hell? He's like
Yeah.
your best friend. You should give him 30%.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I just
that's
remembered
it.
I was gonna give my hot to Vic and then I forgot, so honorary hot to Vic.
Oh, yeah, Vic was great.
my not. I Debbie. Think Lindsay for being so literally not hot.
That's true.
She looked so ugly at that party.
Yes, that is true.
And also just her desperate trying to please her parents. Like, Lindsay is older than me.
Yeah.
And I have gotten over mostly my desperate need to please my parents, so that means everybody needs to be over it.
I agree.
That's how psychology works. I don't make the rules.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, she didn't put in any of the work, and it shows.
Yeah.
Like, it's just embarrassing, in my opinion.
She sucks.
Yeah. Also, honorary not to Debbie. Like, fuck you for acting that
way. Fuck you, Debbie. Okay. You want to hear about next week?
Yes.
Okay. This one, this is a fun one.
Okay.
It's called Love for Sale. Also, the one after this one is really fucking good, so that's exciting.
Ooh, but okay.
This one is called Love for Sale. Michael tries to forget Ben by re-entering the dating scene. We will meet a Jewish drag queen matchmaker, and that's really fun.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Justin has an encounter with a boy closer to his age than Brian. And Brian gets jealous, and it's amazing. but cute jealous. It's good.
Okay. Okay.
It's good. Like he's like, I'm going to go to the gym and work out a lot because I'm afraid Justin's going to leave me jealous. Like, it's...
Aw.
It's cute.
I'm also rolling my eyes because is it everyone else on this show closer to Justin's age?
Brian's the youngest of, like, the other ones.
No way.
Yeah, he had his birthday last. Remember, his birthday was the season one finale. Emmett's younger, but... Ted and Michael are both older than him.
Okay. Well, I'm also thinking about, like, he's had sex and interactions with other guys at, like, the bar.
Yeah.
That are...
It's, younger. It's, you'll see. It's cute.
Okay, okay.
This is our first, like, real interaction with them and their new rules.
Yes.
And we get mm-hmm. to see them.
Yeah.
Oh, and Jennifer's in this one. Yay.
Thank God. Ugh, I
yeah,
missed
we get
her.
To see Jennifer. She's great. And Daphne.
Thank God.
It's a fun
okay,
episode.
Okay, so this is going to be anyway, a good episode.
Yes, yeah. It's a fun one. Emmett is surprised when he meets his secret admirer. Very surprised. This is the Emmett plot that I love.
I'm very excited.
I love Emmett's secret admirer. So, that's fun.
Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Wow. Okay. I'm very, very excited.
Yes. This is episode 8, so we're getting through the season.
Yes.
It is a 20-episode season.
Okay.
Yeah. A little shorter than season 1.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So that's it.
That's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can find us on Twitter as at Hannah Musk, at Jesse _ Quinn, and at A Little Too Harsh, which is the one that is most important to follow because that's where I tweet when the episodes go up. So.
My dog has hiccups right now, and it's really cute. Aww. I feel like that needs to be noted.
It is noted.
Okay.
But still, adopt a cat.
Adopt a cat.